Greetings, my fellow freedom loving sovereign thinkers. Thank you for tuning to LL3 Podcast. My name is Craig, transmitting from the beautiful realms of planet Earth. Sorry about that. Today's date is Saturday, February 3rd, 2024. This is episode 1714. Rest in peace, Wayne Kramer. And the American Revolution was a rejection of unlimited centralized power. Before I proceed, you can find me on multiple social media sites and podcast channels. Just type in Loki Luck number 3, Loki Luck Roman number 3 of 3 eyes, or Loki Luck Roman number 3 podcast. Furthermore, if you have any questions, comments, recommendations, all that good stuff, whatever you do, please use decorum. You can send me an email to LL3, that's the number 3 to be exact, .podcast@proton.me. If you want to donate, go to paypal.me or cash.app/LokiLuck3. Woo, man. Yeah, so I've been busy. I didn't do a show for like 7 days. I'm like, wow. But very interesting times indeed, right? Yeah, I was checking out that Michael Moan ordeal, the Michael Moan's militia. And I thought it was a one big interesting psyop. You know, I'm not saying, and then I'm like, something wasn't right, so I had to look into it. And as I found out, like, yeah, actually, he was accused of murdering his father and did that video that was the shadow banned on YouTube. And someone sent to me on Telegram, I'm like, wow. Insane indeed. Very disturbing. And you're going to have the political pundits may use that, his case, as polarization towards anyone that criticizes the Biden administration, give them more fuel and have the folks live in fear. Like, you need us, which they've been polarized. They've been doing it for a good period of time, which is very obvious. This is why I always said in good faith to everyone in my community, my neighbors and all that, beware of the war on terror, because it's actually against its people regardless. They want to remember, they try to say the Muslims this, the Muslims that. And people, and some people are like, yeah, get them. And now they're attacking, you know, they're gunning on the Christians. And the ones that were, yeah! And they claim to be Christians, they're all wigging out. Hey, if you dish it out, you better learn to receive. And this is why we got to always examine the bigger picture. Many of them call me a nut job. You don't know what you're talking about. Then reality hits them. I'm no genius myself, and boldly admit it. Try to be informed the best I can, make my own conclusions, and learn along the way. Every single one of us are capable of bettering ourselves. Don't make excuses. Observe responsibly. Contemplate thoroughly. Constructive criticism is good. Question everything. But it is very heinous what has happened. And even on the manifesto itself. And this is why it was cases that he had some mental issues and lost and tried to focus on the job he wanted, didn't work out. He was in debt and he had to live back with his parents. So, is this a possible SSRI case? Respectfully, I wouldn't be surprised. But it's just horrific what happened to Mr. Moan, the father, who not around, not been deceased. Always question these things, folks. It is chilling, of course. And now the United States and UK are bombing areas in Syria and Yemen. I'm like, what are you doing? You focus on what's going on the border, but remember, all those Club of Rome maggots, including the ones in DC, think it's okay. Come to their front door, they all wig out too. Like, they love dishing out, but they hate receiving, right? Oh, man. But, yes, so it's not here from Information Liberation. Biden curses Trump in private, calls him a sick F. Actually, when Biden makes a statement about somebody, he's projecting himself. Think about that, okay? Always pay attention to his actions. And I was like watching a little interview from with a comedian David Smith to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about he freezed up when asked about Israel's influence on America. It's not being anti-Semitic, folks. It is disturbing. Which I said before, I stress this a lot to my fellow listeners. The dangers of foreign powers and influence. I recommend people look at or read Feather's Papers 2 through 5. I did a show on that too, that you could actually listen to or don't go, can't say my voice, just there's the links. You could read them for yourselves. So I'm just browsing through here. A la censor.news. A lot of things are occurring. Epoch Times, US and UK carry out new strikes against House in Yemen. Natural News. Epoch Times. Hundreds of animals disembark ship in mid-export limbo. And over $7 billion in U.S. funding went to U.N. agency whose employees reportedly attacked Israel on October 7th. Can we say inside job? Biden wins South Carolina primary? Yeah, by default. And my condolences, whoever voted for it, for that piece of Bushite garbage. And of course, Natural News. Scaremongering climate experts spread absurd myth that home gardening is hazardous for the planet. LifeSite, Bishop Strickland, Christ calls each of us to have a strong, joyful faith like the martyrs. So, I'm just going to skim around here. Oh, here's one here. Civil War brewing in USA and Catholic Church. They want to play that divide and conquer game. And of course, WUWT punching back a counterpunches false climate claims. And we can just go down the expose. Trial begins. Laura Reiner Fuelmick denies breach of trust. Blacklisted News. U.S. strikes at least 85 targets in Iraq and Syria, including from B-1 bombers. Why the hell we're in Syria anyway? It's just... the deception, imperialism continues, right? I'll head down. Climate Depot. Chapter excerpt. Michael Mann's hockey shtick from best-selling The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. The National Pulse. Poison the blood. Surge in syphilis among women and babies. And this one here actually came from Michael Snyder's book, article. Very alarming. Natural disasters are happening in Hawaii and California. Please pay attention, folks. 100%fedup.com. Jerry Seinfeld shuts down a white guilt reporter. It was funny, by the way. I'm not even a big Jerry Seinfeld fan. But when I saw the video, I just bust out laughing. I'm like, all right, get him. This is interesting here, too. Exposed. Joe Biden hasn't won a single primary yet. Is this how Michelle comes in? And I'll hit down here. Oh, yeah. Children's Health Defense, COVID shots, premature births, kids' pneumonia, and antibiotics, plus more. And we got yours news. Slovakia Prime Minister orders investigation to COVID-19 response and vaccines. Over 21,000 excess deaths. There are terror threats coming across the border. Reported discussed terrorists caught in Minnesota. And House Speaker, 64 times Biden intentionally undermined border security. New American, Russell Brand, liberals secretly hate the working class. And Oklahoma drag queen, principal offers resignation. Another one here. Yes, the system is rigged, but it can get a lot worse. It is funny. California becomes the first state to introduce reparations legislation. Hey, all you lazy asses. Just say you were slaves. Your great parents were slaves in California. Prove it. We'll give you money. Allegedly, right? How many of them is going to be actually beneficially executed? I don't think so. It's going to get all people wound up. Free money, baby. Yeah. So I'll continue on. This is Breitbart. Exclusive. Bernie Moreno makes case against Frank LaRose. Matt Dolan. Okay. Exclusive. Kerry Lake. Failed bribe for me to stay out of politics when I needed to run. And right down here, Conservative Tribune. Border Patrol discovers city storm's drain system being exploited. Dozens apprehended. Zero Hedge. Ukraine drone reaches deep into Russian territory, damaging one of its largest refineries. Onews pipeline, 41 banks closing during 1 week of January. Joe Rogan has shattered the media monolith. That is Zero Hedge. And say here, House GOP proposed $17.6 billion for Israel. No offering cuts to IRS. Oh, good grief. I'll make my pledge to a foreign nation. They're first, U.S. is last. Woo! Ain't that great? All hail to the Federal Reserve. Crap, crap, hooray. Maybe Trump is the answer. Rapper 50 Cent responds to NYC's $53 million cash from migrants program. All right. A Bitcoin standard unleashed. Oh, here's from All Pipeline News, too. Food prices skyrocket in 2024. That's right. Print that money thin air. Free money for the COVID. And oh, my goodness, everything's going up. That's right. When the government knows best, folks, it turns to manure. Alt-market, globalists will use carbon controls to stop you from growing your own food because they know better. They don't even can't even clean their own butts, right? Daily Mail, the essential nootropic stack. And we'll just head on down. Yep, that's the end of the American Dream. I already did that already. Did that too. Okay, so I'm just browsing around. DC Clothesline. Disease X seems like an engineering plan as corporate media blasts headlines about next pandemic. Law enforcement today. House Democrat known for defunding police under DOJ investigation for hiring husband. Oh, yeah, right? Oh, yeah, they had traffic starting to move after I-40 bridge in Memphis blocked all day by pro-Palestinian protesters. Yeah, they blocked the bridge and they're still probably working on the damn thing. I've been through there a few times. Every time I go through Memphis, there's always construction. People there drive like lunatics anyway. So I was driving across country during the whole COVID lockdown from a lot of those states. Pretty clear until I hit West Memphis. Then I saw 5-6 rear-end collisions along the way along I-40. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I'm in Memphis. That's how it goes, right? Let me run some probably awesome folks there, too. So I'm just wondering how many of them were paid to block the bridge for a pro-Palestinian protest. How many of them were hired? Don't get me wrong. Like I said before, I stand for humanity, but always watch for the opportunists out there. Always pay attention. So right here, too. White House turns down CBS interview request for Super Bowl interview with President Biden. Okay. Who gives a crap? God, sorry about that. It says here, South Carolina Senate approves constitutional carry from Just News. And according to some people, it's not really that. So we've always got to have, see the bigger picture here. This is fun. This is interesting from Post Millennial. Rapper Killer Mike refused to endorse Biden over Trump. Triggered Bill Maher. Bill Maher's offended. Good. Reclaim the net. Mark lies and muted voices exploring government watch list. And check this out. Louisiana man wins $205,000 in damages after arrest over joke on Facebook. Woo! All right. Remember, folks, free speech is more important than your feelings. So I was seeing a video from, what was it? Oh, good grief. Oh, man, I've got that that one gentleman, Dan Dix. Yeah. Press for Truth. Sorry about that. Sorry, Dan. Forgive me. It's interesting because I was had this one person that smacked this one individual, had a sign about transitioning, about criticizing the puberty blockers. You shouldn't have it for minors. And there was a claim that that person punched him and ran into the bus. And of course, the bus driver, he was like, went after the person who was the victim. But the assailant admitted later on. So he's like, look at all the thought processes. He won't make sure he don't want no trouble on the bus. And usually with that, it was, Press for Truth. You should look that up. And the person was like trying to rip the sign off. Oh, yeah, help me. He's grabbing the guy's picket, the big sign he had around his neck. And he called it, he's hateful, hate speech. So, hate speech. His speech is offensive and threatening my life. You know, he did not throw him down anyone's throat. He just has it on display. But people get triggered. All these willing snowflakes. He got them from all angles. Come on, folks, grow up. There's bigger things to worry about. So I'll just RT have one here. Crimea is historically Russian. That's what the Polish president has to say. And big league politics. Ohio and Michigan Republicans unite to oppose militia trans kids. Liberal media defends butchering. They're a bunch of sick puppies. Hey, folks, just all these lab rat experimentations. H.G. Wells warned us about that in his book, The Island of Dr. Moreau. And is there some claims about he was involved the globalists may have a conscience to give these people a heads up what can happen. So let me see here. I'm going to keep on heading down. U of M study, urban garden has 6 times carbon footprint than conventional farming. Was the U of M study, was that University of Miami or Michigan? Let me see here. U of M study. The University of Michigan. Okay, interesting. So I don't want to mix them up. Things you happen. Cradle has one here. Iraq denies Washington notified government prior to deadly overnight strike. ISIS exploits to U.S. strikes to attack Iraqi forces in Anbar. U.S. carries out major bombing in Iraq and Syria. Human events. Female pool player turns down pro contract due to trans inclusion in the women's leagues. And entire districts appear to be taken over by Arabs, says German billionaire about his hometown of Berlin. It's from Remix. Middle Eastern Eye. Egypt pyramid restoration plans under review following outcry. Tusanian opposition leader handed new jail term over illegal financing a party. And that's all on here. But there's a lot of insanity right in front of our eyes. You know, World War III is planning to expand. Everyone's like talking about what can happen in a few months to come. And like I said before, folks, please prepare yourselves at all costs. I know many folks in the States are have been fleeing out of the big mega cities. Whatever you do, don't bring your tyrannical garbage with you when you head to these other places, because the folks out there don't like that. And I know for sure because I'm the same way. I like to I'll draw my green space. Okay, I don't need Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about the Green New Deal. That's for naive people. The gullible. I'm the Green New Deal. Yeah, please take a dump. Here's my Green New Deal. All right. Well, I'm be doing that one sec first segment. Stay tuned. All right, so I'm going to read this from PremierGuitar.com. Just found this out today, to be exact. And I just had to wing it on the show. This is Wayne Kramer, co-founder of MC5 and punk rock pioneer, dies at age of 75. It's by Ted Drozdowski. Came out today. The Bone Rally guitarist helped set a revolutionary path for expression in six-string based music while drawing on the cultural explosion of the 60s, elevating its promise for future generations. Poet, author, patriot, rebel, felon, jailbird turned prison reformer, and most important, part of the twin guitar engine of the influential rock band MC5. Wayne Kramer died on February 2nd at age of 75, leaving the gap in a world of activist musicianship and a tear in the fabric of American music history. The cause was pancreatic cancer. Wow, that's very deadly, folks. Kramer was just 19 when his career began, when founding of the Motor City 5 in Detroit alongside fellow guitarist Fred Smith, singer Rob Tyner, bassist Michael Davis, and drummer Dennis Thompson in 1963. The group were as tough and complicated as their hometown. Musical firebrands, playing with an energy and intensity rarely seen in then still evolving rock genre, and Kramer performed like Chuck Berry and Sun Ra in one body, which made sense for while rock was their voice. They embraced the cultural explosion of the times in all its glory, including free jazz and particular figures like John Coltrane and Sun Ra, whose music reflected the Black freedom struggle in its themes as well as a purity of self-expression. As a result, before Hendrix began recording, the MC5 were blazing a trail in rock improvisation. We attacked that concept like a dog on a stake, Kramer told me at our first meeting in the 90s, which was arranged by our mutual friend, the band's official manager and counterculture icon, John Sinclair. The people we idolized were Coltrane, Sun Ra, Albert Eiler, Cecil Taylor, and the Yardbirds, and the Who. We saw a connection between those kinds of music. I was pushing Chuck Berry-inspired solos into the territory Coltrane was in. We cultivated music in the moment, coming up with it on the spot. Taking risk is what makes something unique, no matter what it is. And so, for their raw, unbridled, and at times practically unhinged sonic attack, the MC5 are an important element in the bed of punk rock. The context of punk, Kramer explained, is to try to move away from the status quo and do things of principle that are of value. Most people today understand it as something that's been commodified to mean Green Day or The Offspring, which are mainstream music business success stories, not my understanding of what punk rock really meant. MC5 almost immediately became a cultural force in both music and American politics. Kick out the jams, motherfuckers, excuse my language, folks. The singer's shout, Rob Tyner, used to lead the charge of their every performance, became not only a call to rock, but a call for the rising tide of youth culture in America. On their own turf, the band uses Record Deal Advance, the largest scored by a rock group at the time, and concert proceeds to fund a food kitchen and for their local community's medical needs. After raising the ire of the middle, of the American political establishment with a conflagrant performance in Lincoln Park, Chicago, during the 1968 Democratic Convention, they landed in the crosshairs of the authorities and their slow erosion began, complicated also by drug use and other internal conflicts and arrest and imprisoned in 1969 for the of their colorful manager, Sinclair, who had founded the White Panther Party in support of the Black Panthers. Interesting there. I'll just continue on. Nonetheless, by then, the MC5 has laid enough groundwork to be widely acknowledged as progenitors of punk rock by virtually everyone but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in which they surely deserve a place while Kramer was alive. Drummer Dennis Thompson remains the only surviving member of the original recording band, which broke up in 1972. And you know what? We don't need the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to induct MC5. Because one thing I know for sure, folks, they made impact, and a lot of folks will always remember that. That's what counts. So I'll continue on. That spirit of activism and DIY creativity stayed with Kramer throughout his career, although it was sidelined by a four-year prison sentence in the mid-1970s for selling drugs to an undercover agent. While in prison in Lexington, Kentucky, he met Red Rodney, who was also incarcerated there on a drug charge. The jazz trumpet genius took Kramer under his wing and continued musical education in prison. After serving his time, Kramer moved to New York City and teamed up for a short live band with Johnny Thunders and produced and played in a series of other groups. He also worked as a carpenter during a brief stint in Nashville, but in 1991, he ignited his solo career with a series of albums, including the beautiful Gut Punch of 1995's The Hard Stuff, which features his acolytes from the Melvins and the Vandals. These albums blended Kramer's songs and poetry to set music, and his list of collaborators grew to include Dee Dee Ramone, Chris Spedding, Bad Religion, David Waz, Nels Klein, and perhaps more importantly, kindred spirit Tom Morello, for whom the MC5 and Kramer were profoundly influential. Kramer eventually launched his own record label and a U.S. version of Jail Guitar Doors in the States, latter an offshoot of the U.K. organization started by Billy Bragg, dedicated to reforming inmates through music. Kramer never lost his vitality on stage, and after 2011, always played the Stratocaster signature model that Fender created for him that year, with an American flag finish and a humbucker in the middle position. Starting in 2018, Kramer put together a band he named MC50s to tour the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the MC5's 1969 live album, Kick Out the Jams, the most furious document of their aesthetics. The band performed the MC5's music with brass-knuckled perfection and included Soundgarden's Kim Thayil, Fugazi's drummer Brandon Candy, and Zen Gorilla frontman Marcus Durant, and Kramer, then 71, led the fray with the snarl and prounce of his 19-year-old self, always heading the charge with solos that were brash, raw, and expressive, displaying his love of free jazz with unpredictable melodic lines, flurries of notes, not unlike triple tonguing and jagged riffs, and laying down self-assured and powerful chording that could drive a spike through a wall. And he did it with a warm, mid-range, ripe Tiger's growl snarling from his amp than Fender DeVille's rather than a 100-watt Marshall stack he played through with them through the MC with the MC5. During that tour in 2019, Wayne was profiled in Premier Guitar by Bill Murphy when his fascinating autobiography, The Hard Stuff, Crime, Dope, the MC5, and My Life of Impossibility was published. Astonishingly, Kramer's final recording project is an album under the MC5 name, featuring the band's original drummer on two tracks, Don Was, Morello, Vernon Reed, and Slash, and produced by Bob Ezrin. The release, the album Heavy Lifting, is scheduled for this spring. Very, very, very cool. Vernon Reed, man, that's some interesting, pretty cool line, especially Vernon Reed. He's a fantastic guitar player. So Morello issued a statement following Kramer's death. His band, the MC5, basically invented punk rock. Wayne came through personal trials of fire with drugs and jail time and emerged a transformed soul who went to save countless lives through his tireless acts of service. When I last spoke with Wayne when the MC50 played at Nashville's Exit Inn, he still extolled his belief in the magical moment. To be right there in the club and to hear somebody play something they've ever played before, to take a chance, to allow risk. It's those moments when everyone in the room is on the same wavelength and the barriers between us exploded. There's an actual clip on that of Kickout Jams at the Fillmore in Detroit. So, pretty cool. I gotta say this because I heard a lot of their stuff, even in the past and so forth. It's very cool. And I know Motorhead, a lot of groups were very influenced by MC5. And unfortunately, I never seen them perform. However, the MC50 I've seen. And was it Bob Gold? And that was Peter Bob Gold from Faith No More The Bassist was with them at the time. It was a fun show, I have to admit. You know, saw them in Revolution Live in Fort Lauderdale. And it wasn't a packed house, but it was like, you know, it could have been, I wish there had been more people there. However, it was fun. I had a great time, awesome vibe. And Wayne Kramer, you know, he was doing his thing. everyone did good at that show. So it's a shame. He left a lot of great music and inspired many people. He left a legacy on everyone. So, of course, sometimes the political views are different, a little bit different, you know, from others. He's talking about Donald. He was like, "Oh yeah, about Donald Trump." This, I just laughed. I didn't care. But some people are like, "Oh, he's fucking Donald Trump." Like, who cares? That's Wayne Kramer. Go figure. You're not gonna tell. I'm worried about it. But it was pretty cool when he wants to see people liberated. And because through obstacles and trials and tribulations, what's going on? This is why I always have that rights of individuals. You can be judged by your actions, your merits. And we all are capable of inspiring others in a positive direction. That's what Wayne Kramer did. Yes, he made his mistakes, like we all do. But his legacy will live on. Left a lot of great music. A lot of bands, like I said before, a lot of bands and performers were highly influenced by him. And that's what counts. You don't need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to be known. That's just my view on it. May his soul be forever free. All right, I'm going to do one more segment after this. So stay tuned. Gonna do one more here. It came out yesterday from the 10th Amendment Center. It's called "American Revolution Was a Rejection of Unlimited Centralized Powers" by Mike Meharry. Support these guys. They are fantastic. So I'll continue on here. In school, you probably learned that the American Revolution was about taxation without representation, or perhaps standing armies, but it doesn't tell the whole story, not even close. This becomes clear if we listen to what the founders and old revolutionaries has to say. In short, these were symptoms of a deeper problem, unlimited centralized government power. In early 1766, the colonists effectively nullified the Stamp Act, forcing the Parliament to repeal the hated law, but there was a caveat. At the same time, Parliament also passed a Declaratory Act asserting that it could make laws binding the American colonies in all cases whatsoever. It was a claim of absolute unlimited centralized authority. In other words, the root cause of the controversy between the colonies and Great Britain was about sovereignty, who has ultimate and final authority. In the British system, the king and parliament was considered sovereign. In effect, parliament wielded final authority with the king serving as the arm to put its power into action. Massachusetts loyal governor Sir Francis Bernard went as far as to say the king in parliament has the sole right of legislation and the supreme superintendency of the government, and in this plenitude of power is absolute, uncontrollable, and accountable to none, and therefore, in a political sense, can do no wrong. This is what's happening today, folks. Pretty damn relevant, right? Influenced by the writings of John Locke, Algernon Sidney, and other thinkers, the founders and old revolutionaries began to form a very different conception of government. They became to believe the people are sovereign and government is constrained by their will. Two groups of people holding such radically divergent views of sovereignty were bound to clash. Many of the leading figures in the Revolutionary era asserted that the Declaratory Act was the root of the conflict. For example, in this Masquerade Day oration on March 5th, 1774, John Hancock explained that taxation without representation was merely an outgrowth to that act. This is what he says. They have declared that they have ever had and of right ought ever to have full power to make laws of sufficient validity to bind the colonies in all cases whatever. They have exercised this pretended right by imposing a tax upon us without our consent. Alexander Hamilton made a similar point that same year. The Parliament claims a right to tax us in all cases whatsoever. Its late acts are in virtue of that claim. How ridiculous, then, is it to affirm that we are quarreling for the trifling sum of 3 pence a pound on tea when it is evidently the principle against which we contend? The first paragraph of the Declaration and Resolve of the First Continental Congress passed on October 14, 1774, in response to the Coercive Act, also cited the Declaratory Act of 1776, and asserted that everything happening was an outgrowth of that claim to unlimited power. Whereas, since the close of the last war, the British Parliament claiming a power of right to bind the people of America by statutes in all cases whatsoever hath, in some acts expressly imposed taxes on them and in others under various presents. But in fact, for the purpose of raising a revenue, hath imposed rates and duties payable in these colonies, established a broad of commissioners with unconstitutional powers, and extended the jurisdiction of courts. Amorality, not only for collecting the said duties, but for the trial of cause merely arising with the body of a county. In the declaration of causes and necessity of taking up arms, passed unanimously by the Second Continental Congress in July 1775, Thomas Jefferson and John Dixon again specifically addressed the British claim to absolute power. But why should we enumerate our injuries in detail? By one statute, it is declared that Parliament can, of right, make laws to bind us in all cases whatsoever. What is to defend us against so enormous, so unlimited power? In the very first line of the South Carolina Constitution, ratified 2 months before the Declaration of Independence, the very first line called out the unlimited power claimed by the Parliament Act, Parliament's Declaratory Act. Whereas the British Parliament claiming of late years a right to bind the North American colonies by law in all cases whatsoever, have enacted statutes for raising a revenue in those colonies and disposing of such revenue as they thought proper without the consent and against the will of the colonists. Interesting there. And of course, in his famous tract, American Crisis, published on December 23rd, 1776, Thomas Paine asserted that the British claim to unlimited power was effectively slavery, and that's why the American revolutionaries need to push on against all odds. It says here, Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, has declared that she has the right not only to tax, but to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that matter is not slavery, then there is no such thing as slavery upon earth. Even the expression of impious for so unlimited a power can only belong to God. Okay. In a 1777 letter to Susanna Phillips Robinson, John Jay also called people living under such sweeping power slaves. For who are slaves but those who in all cases, without exception, are bound to obey the uncontrollable mandates of a man, whether styled a king or called peasant. Over and over again, the old revolutionaries railed against this claim of unlimited centralized power. They rejected it, and they were willing to put it all on the line to stop it. Yep. It's a little history lesson here, folks. On oppression, slavery, tyranny, and centralization. Even the Annie Fillers papers, number one, talk about the dangers of centralization. This is why these United States is known as a republic. All the sovereign states under a federation. So technically, they call us a nation, a country, but we're under those federation conditions, a republican form of government. That's how it's supposed to be. But in due time, doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, you're always going to have power-mad people. Want to do everything on a federal level, which many of it is declared unconstitutional. Spooner agreed on that. Any law that's repugnant to the U.S. Constitution is null and void. And this is why we have the anti-commandeering doctrine. And this is a union contract on a voluntary basis. So it can't be done by force. It's got to be voluntary. Each state has that right. That's why you're seeing what's going on with the Texas nationalist movement. Started around 1996. Now, and look what's happening right now. When Biden's yahoos, Joe Biden, believes we should all revolve around him and his cornball administration, which they suck really bad. He's a Bushite puppet. He is not my president, and I digress. Got no shame of saying it whatsoever. If people get offended, who cares? Free speech is more important than your feelings. If you don't learn from the past, folks, we're dead and repeat it. It's time to decentralize. Let's become a republic once again and denounce the empire. Because look what happened in the past. Plain and simple. All right. That'll be it. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Plus, feel free to download and share us throughout your social media networks. If you have any questions, comments, or things on this interesting, want to check out whatever you do, please use the quorum. Furthermore, I'll leave the footnotes of these articles on my page. If you want to contact me, go to ll3.podcast@proton.me. If you want to donate, go to paypal.me or cash.app/lookylook3. If you want to support premierguitar.com or the 10th Amendment Center, it'd be great. Hey, donate, subscribe, listen to your shows. Tell them LL3 sent you. Once again, thank you for your time. Plus, always remember that demoniac resistance is healthy for the soul and can liberate humanity. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Keep on spreading the love. May your guardian spirits be with you.